We back at it, Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
Live from Fab Factory Studios.
Yeah, man, we got to start off the show, man. Got to say, rest in peace, Takeoff, man.
Rest in peace and Takeoff.
There he goes.
Very unfortunate situation, definitely avoidable. Obviously, I feel bad for Takeoff because, you know, he was like, he always seemed like to be the most low-key one.
Super chill.
Super chill, always just chilling, right? But then you got to feel bad for everybody else involved. It's just, I never thought that the Migos story would end like this.
Right.
Technically it is ended, but right. because it's not Migos without all three, right?
Right.
But I never saw this coming. Like, I never saw.
I think anybody did.
Man. No, I'm just saying, I never even when you think about, I remember we had them on the show too, and I think I talked about this before, where they was like, we the best group ever because we never gonna break up.
Right.
And then they're like going their separate ways. And then like to have this kind of cap it all off is really, really tragic. It's unfortunate. It's very sad. And I don't know. I just wish healing energy to his family. I sent him and really to Quavo because his nephew, that's his nephew.
Right.
Like, and him being there and everything that kind of transpired, it was just like, fuck. But I don't really know. I don't really like the thing about stuff like that. It's not about. And we just talked to RJ, but it's not about the death. It's how people die.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be different if we lost Nip in a car crash.
Right.
Or we lost Nip like in a even in an accident. It's still heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But
things, situations like this where violence, it feels like it will. It was avoidable.
It's always avoidable. I'm just saying, it just always is. It hit different when it's violence.
Yeah.
So,
I go back to, I actually saw Takeoff and Quavo that for their album release.
Yeah, you went
album listening session a couple of weeks. Well, about a month ago, a little over a month ago. And one thing I'm going back looking at it now, I look at that experience different because we know, again, from interviewing Migos, Takeoff is more the chill, relaxed, as most people see. But that particular day, he was so excited about kind of like, not necessarily proving his point, but he was more social than I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, looking back at that now, it's like, damn, just to look at the potential that's gone and no longer here. It's just, like you said, an unfortunate situation. You obviously think about the family. You obviously just think about the whole situation and just in general, man, and just how unfortunate it just is. And even going off of hearing the news, because I was up at like 2 or 3 a.m.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I was up and I saw news kind of on Twitter. You know how Twitter news,
yeah,
is.
It's fast.
It's fast, but it's also like, man, nah, that can't be true. I just dismissed the first hour. I'm just like, nah, it can't be. But fortunately, you keep on scrolling, keep on seeing, keep on refreshing. And, you know, unfortunately, I saw like a picture, and I just, at that point, that's when I knew, like, okay, there might be some truth to this. And obviously, they confirmed the situation, the news and all that. It's just, again, just sad, bro.
You know what's crazy to me about the world we live in now is Twitter will confirm your death before even Harvey Levin.
TMZ, like, yeah, you're
before,
right.
Twitter pronounced you dead before TMZ does. And that's, I think the last one, not the last one to make it sound like that, but I think the only one that I remember TMZ breaking for real is Kobe. I didn't see that on nowhere, no outlets. I didn't see it on Twitter before I saw TMZ post it. You know what I'm
you're
saying?
You're right. The news went up. I see what you're saying. Yeah, the news went up. What's funny is that they put it up and took it down.
They took the Kobe down.
They took it down because the family hadn't been notified yet.
Oh shit.
So I remember that moment as well, just being when it got posted and it was going around, it's like, nah. And then the links went ghost for a while, and about 30 minutes later they confirmed it and went back up. But I bring that up to say about this whole seeing different think pieces, arguments, people having something to say about, you know, having footage at that time. right? Because there's footage of the situation. There's footage of Takeoff prior to that happening and after the fact. And people being upset that people are doing that, which is warranted. Like, I don't think that their family should see the news or hear about the news in that instance, like seeing it online. But we got to understand, we in a time of clout chasing people, where if something goes off, the first thing people want to do is pull their phone out because they want to be in the mix. And then obviously people are checking into it. So then that makes the TMZs of the world or whoever wants to break the story, they're going to tap in with them people and verify it, pay them off or whatever. So everybody's talking about, oh, I don't want to do this, but not realizing that the audience is responsible for that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their own responsibility in it. I think, like, we all been sitting in traffic before because of a car accident.
And we're looking at it.
That's on the other side.
Right.
And it's not even on your side, but yeah. It's just everybody want to see a plane crash. And it's just like, until you see a plane crash.
Yeah.
Everybody want to see a crash until you see the crash. Then, like, everybody would, like, even me, I'm guilty of it, like, looking at shit and be like, oh, I shouldn't have looked at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's just, that's human nature. We've been fascinated with death. We always going to be fascinated with death. It's always going to be a thing. It's not going nowhere, no time soon. It's just unfortunate that sometimes, I think that what happens is you don't think about the family.
Right.
Like, you don't think about that. Right. They just be like, oh, well, I'm just reporting the news.
Yeah. But on the flip side, to play devil's advocate, right, I'm sure that footage, I'm sure that all that is going to be helpful for the information that they're going to use to lead.
Oh, they already. I mean, yeah, they already. Listen, man,
it's a tricky situation.
I don't even want to talk about the shit I heard about what's going on in Texas and all that. Ain't none of my business. God bless everybody involved.
What I do want to talk about though is LeBron James paying tribute to Takeoff as he should, right? But he's getting cooked. He's getting cooked online right now. Because he paid tribute to Takeoff in a picture, right? But in the press conference,
it wasn't in a picture. He wore the fit.
He wore the whole fit
through the tunnel. Yeah,
right. And then in the press conference, talking about how he was a fan of the Migos back in 2010 when he got drafted or actually signed to the Heat. Now, if you do your Googles, you'll see that the Migos' first project was in 2011.
I don't have a comment on that. I support LeBron James. Hey, you know what?
What?
I support LeBron James.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, he getting cooked online. The people ain't supporting him online.
No, let me tell you, this is I hate to make light of the situation, but certain things that 50 Cent. Okay, did you see 50 Cent?
I didn't see his post.
50 Cent went on stage to pay tribute to Takeoff. And played Bad and Bougie, right?
Oh.
And so, you know, there's that. So,
I didn't know about that.
So, and you know, there's that. So it's like, hey, bro, you know what I mean? Hey, this is how I feel, okay? Everybody should just...
Well, Takeoff said he wasn't left off Bad and Bougie.
He didn't say he wasn't left off. He said, do it look like I was left off Bad and Bougie. That's what Takeoff said. Do it look like I was left off Bad and Bougie? No, it don't appear that way, because you perform the songs, everybody, it's all good. But I appreciate all the sentiment, and I believe that everybody should be judged on their intent and not necessarily their actions. Your intentions were pure, man, I fuck with that.
Salute.
Yeah.
We just going
to... But let's... Hey, if you're not a DJ... Let me look. If you're not a DJ and you're not familiar with the catalog of the Migos, okay, and you want to pay tribute to Takeoff in your sets, Bad and Bougie probably isn't the first choice. Okay?
There's many other choices.
There's a lot of other songs that it's hella songs. Yeah. Hella, he got a whole solo album.
That's one thing that I do appreciate. When we talked to him, you know, we gave him props off that album. You were talking to him about that and just, you know, Him having to get that off his chest, right? So, salute to Takeoff, man. Rest in peace. I mean, obviously, like you said, healing energy to all the parties involved. Just an unfortunate situation. And that's life, man. You again, we kind of made light of the situation, but you got to be able to kind of like smile through the freaking pain, man. And hopefully,
It's very unfortunate. Takeoff was 28 years old,
which is wild, bro. That's so young.
And been in the game 10 plus. So it's like, damn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you in the game a decade, and you 28. Like, you a veteran. You're an OG at this point, and you 28 years old. And for your life to come to an abrupt end is very, very unfortunate. And what makes it even worse for me is just, it's avoidable. It's senseless. Yeah. I know people that be out here, and you used to be guilty of this too, like people who are drinking and driving.
Yeah.
And I know people who lost their lives doing that.
Yeah.
Killed other people doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, all this shit is avoidable.
Yeah.
Like, and I think we just, as a community, we need to place more value on life, number one. Number two, we need to place more value on other people's lives. And number three, if it's not life-threatening, like, I'm not preaching. Like, I'm not preaching, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But if it's, like, something that's life-threatening, like, okay, if you get in the car and drunk and you drive, you know that the risk is up there for you killing somebody or yourself.
Right.
Let's place more value on life. That's
for sure. I see you tweet something the other day. I have to ask you about this in real time. I'm not pulling up the tweet. I don't have it. But I'm just curious about your thoughts on Elon Musk. You said something, and paraphrasing, tell me the correct phrase, but you said, you ready to work for him?
I said, this is what I said.
Please tell me what you said.
And I've said this before. I said, if Elon Musk were to call me and offer me a job working for him, I would still be me. I'm not going to go be Aaron Drake. Mm. But if I could be DJ Head working for Elon Musk, I would do it.
You would take the job.
Absolutely. Now, I don't want to go work for Twitter and shit.
No, but what if the job is Twitter?
No, I want to work for Elon Musk.
Yeah, yeah. But what if he says, look, here's an assignment. I need your ass at Twitter because I just got rid of half the staff and I need some bodies. All right?
It depends on what he want me to do.
It don't matter. You didn't say that in your tweet.
I understand that. But that's a conversation I would have with Elon when he calls me. What do you want me to do, my nigga?
You just said that.
And I can say my nigga because he's African.
Is he South African? He's South African?
Yeah. Elon Musk from Africa.
So he can say nigga.
I don't have a comment on that. I said.
Rewind the tape.
Can Elon Musk say
the N-word?
That's a great question, Chuck Dizzle. I know PV gonna clip this.
Hey, my nigga, I got a job for you.
Listen.
What if he has...
Hold on, let me think. Let me stay right here. Hold on.
Please, stay right there.
Can Elon Musk say nigga?
That's what the thoughts...
Can he like...
Yeah. All right, would you be offended?
I don't know. My bigotry wants me to be offended.
My
inner bigotry is triggered by that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, wait.
Just because it's all visual,
yeah,
right? It's visual.
Yeah.
But when in actual tangibles, that's a great fucking question. I don't know. PB, can Elon Musk say nigga?
He said no.
Then how do you say it? What? Hey, he put a picture of himself up. So I want to put right there. I want you to put a picture of yourself up, and let the people just. Can this nigga say nigga? You know what I'm saying? If Elon can't say it, nigga, you can't say it. You know what I'm saying? You
it's
niggas,
back.
Y'all niggas, two cues off. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
So that's just up in the air.
I don't know. That's the greatest conundrum. That is a great conundrum that I'm having.
I don't think I've ever stumped DJ Head on a show ever.
Oh, I'm stumped.
Yeah, this is it.
I don't know what the fuck to do.
Put a pin in that. I'm
going to figure that out, though. Damn. Because yeah. I don't. Because if he said it. Look. If he said it to me, right?
Your first reaction would be.
I'm tripping.
Yeah.
But that's my bigotry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is this nigga rolling out the spring?
In the what?
You rolling out of the shit.
I'm here. I'm head on with the camera.
if he said it to me, like in conversation, mm-hmm. I'm tripping. But if he,
how else would he say it to you?
Okay, this I'm gonna be honest.
Go ahead.
Totally honest.
Please.
If he said it like in a conversation, like he called me on my phone right now, uh-huh. I was like, "Hey, my nigga, what's up?" I'm tripping. I'm like, "Hey, I ain't comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, it made me feel uneasy, right?" But if he were to text me, "Yo, my N-word,"
he would have to say N-word.
Yes. If he said N-word, I would think I would kind of laugh it off him as because he's corny, right? So I would laugh it off as him being corny, like you know.
That you're not supposed to say that.
You're from Africa. Right. So it's like you got me in a gray area right now, and I can't, you know what I mean?
He would have, that's still him censoring himself.
No, I know that. But like if he said that, like, "Hey, what's up, my N-word?" Mm-hmm. I would take it as him being corny.
Okay, but if he texted.
But if he said the whole word, I think I would feel away.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. What's the difference between the text coming in saying?
Well, no, I didn't mean the text. I meant just
in conversation.
In conversation, he said, "DJ Head, what's up, my N-word?"
Mm-hmm. You'd be like,
I'd be like, "Come on, bro."
Yeah.
If you said it all, he said it all the way, I think I'm tripping.
Got it.
But that's because my bigotry is triggered. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I mean,
would you do?
I'm tripping.
Off top.
I'll deal with it later because I didn't know he was South African. So that's my excuse.
Yeah.
Now you know, I got to ask other South Africans.
That's a great point.
South Africans.
Chuck Dizzle never has great points. I just want to point that out. He never has great points.
Phenomenal point right
now. Now he's killing shit right now. This nigga out here wrecking shit. You just point after point after point. Stomping DJ Head.
But, and we're specifically talking about, how would you frame that? Because it's not Caucasian, right? Or,
well, where the fuck is Caucasia? Let's start there.
The Caucasus Mountains.
Where the fuck is the Caucasus Mountains?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Where are the Caucasus Mountains, PB? Them your folks, right?
Wow.
Where is the Caucasus Mountain?
Well,
is that?
But I guess my point is fair-skinned South Africans versus darker-skinned South Africans, right? This only applies to, for the lack of better words, white South Africans.
Here's the problem with that. White, black are ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. That's something that's not real.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Ethnicities aren't real. It's like there's made up shit that white people came up with to what?
That who?
White people.
The fake people.
That's my point. See how I'm brainwashed too.
Triggered over here.
Okay, Europeans came up with this shit. Mm-hmm. Colonizers.
There we go. Okay.
Colonizers.
Bring it home.
Colonizers came up with this shit mm-hmm. called ethnic groups. Okay. And they started placing people in these bins to segregate people in different bins, right? So, in my opinion, just me speaking freely, is I don't think that ethnicity is actually a real thing because your passport is the same as a white person's passport. Same, if you're American, you got a blue passport with the American shit on it. Mm-hmm. When you go to Asia, they don't look at you like, "Oh, you're black or you're white or none of that." You're American.
Yeah.
When I go overseas.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with somebody from Toronto. They were like, "Yo," they were mind blown coming out here. They're like, "Oh, I didn't realize that me being black was a thing. He's from Ghana." He's like, "I'm Ghana," and he said, "You guys in here in America, you place it on the skin, black, correct, white, the ethnicity." Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's something that you only really realize, obviously, doing research, but traveling as well. That's a big thing.
Traveling is so a huge thing. If you're from Egypt, you're Egyptian,
right?
If you're from South Africa, you're South African. Mm-hmm. They don't, because I even talked to, shout out to Emanuela. It's a girl named Emanuela, mm-hmm. met her on Clubhouse. Born and raised in South Africa. And I have talked to her about this. I've asked her this shit before.
Is she?
Because she looks like Trevor Noah.
Okay, so she's light skinned.
She's fair skinned, but they don't look at it like that. She's just, I'm South African. Like, we don't look at it. And I talk to people in the UK. Because I remember I told this girl this story when I went on a train trip with my mom, so she don't fly. We on a train, mm-hmm. and I seen a black lady, but she sounded like James Bond, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm in like sixth grade or right. something. I didn't know. Right. I had never been nowhere. So I walk up to her and I said, excuse me, what are you?
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, kids, they don't have
no filter.
Yeah. And I was way worse back then. I'm like, what are you saying? She looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, like, because you look like me, but.
But you don't sound like
you don't sound like me. She's like, I'm British. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, what are you? Like, are you? I didn't right, understand what the fuck was going on, right? Yeah. My brain couldn't compute what was going on. And later on in life, I started to understand, like, oh, she, over there in the UK, they don't look at you like you're black or this. If anything, they look at you like you're African, Jamaican, stuff like that. They don't look at you like you're black or white. It's like I'm British.
They still, I mean, I think it's still issues and still things rooted around your skin tone.
But that they got that from the colonizers.
Right, right.
That ain't something that's embedded in them like it is us. Mm. They got that from learning the ways of the world, from slavery and all this other kind of shit. They didn't learn that. If you're black and from the UK, they identify as British or Brits or whatever. They don't look at it like I'm black or white or nothing like that. They definitely know that they are,
right.
But that's some learned shit.
Thing. Yeah,
that's not the first thing that comes to their mind. Right. It's like I'm black British.
Jeez, interesting. I would love to hear from South Africans on this.
Me too. I want to talk to Trevor Noah. What?
I'm just thinking, I want to talk to a white South African.
Elon Musk.
I mean, well, he's clearly going to reach out to you for a job.
If Elon Musk, okay, let me ask you this. This is when we move past it. Elon Musk got some money for you, but he wants to say the N-word to you. Like, what's up, my N-word?
To me.
Yeah, he wants to say, what's up, my nigga? To you.
People do it for free.
Okay. But for you not to feel away about it.
I'm going
to
feel away about it anyway.
What's the dollar amount for you not to feel away?
There ain't no dollar amount. I'm going to feel away either way.
Because just how he look.
I'm going to feel away. I'll still take your money.
But I'm saying just based on how he look?
I think it's the context of how he says it too. Because I feel that way even when black people say it sometimes. There's certain times where I'm just like, oh, yeah, passing. Other times, like, this just don't sit right.
So Wayne Brady says, what's up, my nigga, to you? You feel the same way?
It depends on the context.
Got you.
Depends on the context. All right. And sometimes even the amount of times, like, even sometimes we use it on the podcast. After we hit, like, 10, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, me too.
This don't feel right.
Yeah, I agree.
You're doing a little too much right now.
I agree.
Sometimes I get the texts and the calls, too. Like, hey, man.
Yeah, me too.
You on 75. N-words on this one. So this one, we probably had 45.
Me too.
Just to let you know, but in the context of the conversation.
Shout out to CB.
Yeah, shout out to CB. Moving forward, Drake 21 Savage dropped a new album. I haven't heard it. I'm not going
to
lie.
I haven't listened to it.
Her Loss out right now, but I'm hearing a lot of great, good and bad things about it. Great response. But obviously, one thing
people are talking about. The fake rollout.
The fake rollout.
Was
I really thought he was on the Howard Stern show.
I really thought the niggas were on SNL.
After the Howard Stern show, I realized that was fake. Everything else was like, okay, this is
wait,
all
wait, wait. They wasn't really on Howard Stern?
No. They weren't on nothing. So that was the first thing that I saw that wasn't real. They chopped it up somehow. It was amazing. But everything after that, that's when I realized, oh, all this shit is fake. But, I mean, salute to them for pulling that off.
They wasn't really on Howard Stern?
Hey, they were not really on Howard Stern.
That's wild. This whole time, like, okay, all right.
I don't think they were on Tiny Desk. I think they created that.
Hey, you got me.
That was good.
You got me.
Yeah, I seen the cut. That's not after the Howard Stern one, I realized, oh, this is all trickery.
They got me.
Which is dope. I mean.
They got me.
They created the aesthetic for it. Amazing.
The SNL was the one, yeah. But that's wild. I thought this whole time they did Howard Stern. I'm like, oh. They doing fake rollouts, so they're gonna go do shit they wouldn't normally do. So they went to Howard Stern. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm overthinking the thought. I'm overthinking the play.
They got you.
They got you.
Fuck.
Can Drake say nigga?
I mean, he does.
But do you feel away?
No.
You don't feel away.
Because he's black. He's half black. Oh, damn, mind fuck. No, I ain't saying that.
No. Yeah. Drake? Nope. Yeah,
nope.
Chuck?
Nope.
Drake is half black and what?
Man, that's crazy. I don't even know. I don't even know if they.
Exactly.
Know. That's crazy.
You don't know. You don't.
You ain't gonna Kyrie me.
You don't know what he is?
I don't know, man.
Damn, me either.
He light skinned.
So.
I ain't tripping. I ain't tripping if Drake said. Drake can say, hey, Drake, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say.
So Drake can't say nigga without you. So you feel a way about Drake saying nigga?
Don't try to reset. No.
I'm just asking.
He's trying to reset. Try to reset for the clip. Nope. Nah. Ain't gonna give me.
No. Nope. Give me that water, baby. Nope. Is it?
Yeah.
The other one, right there behind the tissue.
Okay. That's what you want to do?
Nah, that ain't.
Shout out to Fab Factory Studios. And toss some waters over the big ass $1 million boards. moving forward, one of the lines that he said on the album, you didn't want to even talk about this, huh? One of the lines that people are talking about, it's going to be old by the time people see this, right? Is it refers to shots and lying, but she's still a stallion. Mm-hmm. People initially thought that it was at Meg Thee Stallion. Mm-hmm. Lil Yachty jumps into the conversation and says, no, that's not the case. He's literally just talking about girls getting butt shots, mm-hmm. lying about it, how it's a joke and play on words. Drake know what he's doing, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, to be honest, that's just what it is. It's a play on words. And it's one of those tricky situations because it's like, in hip hop, we like this competitiveness. We like people talking ish. And what I think, I'm gonna be honest, I think nobody responded on Certified Lover Boy as far as the album coming out. Nobody really talked about it like that. It was literally one day was people talked about it and the album, nobody really talked about it after that, right? This one, people are kind of like kicking up dust over it, keeping the conversation. And I think he knows if he talks spicy on this, it's gonna create the conversation more if people want to dive into the album.
Of course, but Drake know what he's doing. He's elite at this shit. He knew it was gonna cause controversy. They know everything.
Do you think he told Yachty to speak out?
No. Drake don't have to tell nobody to do nothing. And this is something that I really appreciate about Drake, okay? Drake will articulate everything. Mm-hmm. It's just that he doesn't do interviews like that.
True.
So if he does another sit down with B-Dot and Elliot or Chuck Dizzle and DJ Head, whatever he does.
He's already doing with Elliot.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Unless that's part of the fake rollout too. But Elliot talked about it. He said he's got one in Toronto. I think it might even
No,
be
that
out.
Was old. That was from last time.
Nah, I think. Well, we'll see.
That was from last time.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
All right.
What Elliot posted, like, yeah, with the tower behind him.
That was fake.
That was from the previous
okay.
Drake interview. Anyway, wherever he does his conversation piece, mm-hmm. he has no problem articulating. Mm. I mean, yeah, it's a play on words. It's hip hop.
Yeah.
Or he'll say, or like, I don't have no malice towards her or any whatever the case may be. And I like that he always is clear in his thoughts, but he knows what he's doing. It's,
right.
It's obviously wordplay. I don't necessarily think it was necessary, but also it's hip hop. Like sometimes it get uncomfortable, and sometimes like when it comes to her specifically, no, I don't think that you should make light of somebody's trauma
situation. Yeah,
but nigga, if you think about what hip hop is, it's documenting our trauma, all of it. No different than talking about so-and-so getting murdered or so-and-so getting shot or woo-woo-woo. So I think it's just people pick and choose when they want to be activists. Not her or her family.
Situation, right,
but
right.
Twitter and all that shit.
The think pieces that come with it.
The think pieces, the YouTube breakdowns and shit. Them people.
Well, to be fair, she responded. And she felt a way about it. Mm-hmm. So now she's speaking out about that. And I think that's the only difference that... That's the only difference in this situation. You're right. When you have the outside talking about it, doesn't make sense. But y'all can keep chattering. But when you got the person that has been a victim speaking on that.
But here, play devil's advocate, mm-hmm. though. Does she say anything if it never became a thing?
Say it again?
Does she respond if it never blew up and became a thing? If that bar just went under the radar like all the rest of the bars, mm-hmm. does she still speak up?
Meaning if nobody else brought it up and
nobody
talked
else, no, it didn't become a Twitter thread. Mm-hmm. It never became a trending topic. Mm-hmm. It's not on the shade room. It never became a topic of discussion.
I think she would. I'm gonna tell you why. Because somebody else would have probably sent it to her. Hey man, you know you heard. Hey, you heard this? And she would have probably said something.
Maybe.
But then that would have blew the situation up bigger than it had to be as well. Yeah. I don't know, man. And the thing is, I'm not sitting here trying to police lyrics as well. But at the same time, you know, you got to pick and choose when you want to kind of have that battle. And I here's the thing. I don't really see him. A lot of people, I mean, no, I guess he is kind of coming under fire, but it's not a boycott Drake. You don't see people holding up the picket signs in that sense. You hear the conversations, but it's not to the point of let's take the lyric out. Let's change the album. You know what I mean? Nothing like that.
This cancel shit is stupid. And it's never gonna stick. It's not a thing. Like, all it takes is somebody to do something that benefits you or fuck with you in order for you to this wasn't that bad or blah blah blah. Like, it's just we in a hypersensitive time. So I don't see people canceling Drake.
Why not?
Why not what?
Why not? Why not cancel Drake?
Because
I mean,
because
they almost canceled Lizzo.
I don't think I don't think people look at Drake like that. Like say for instance, if damn, if let's say who's a bad guy?
In hip hop?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
DaBaby.
If DaBaby did it,
oh yeah.
They on his ass.
I mean, they was on his ass when he made a song with Tory Lanez.
That's my point. Drake is not a bad guy.
Ah.
When you position yourself in that way.
As a villain,
then people villainize.
But at what point do you become a crossover and become the bad guy?
You don't become an anti-hero.
You got to break it down for me because I'm not into the comics. The comics.
So a villain is somebody like the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Where they thrive on chaos and turmoil and carnage, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have the hero who is against all that, the crime fighter, right? Then you have the anti-hero, Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos, he gonna do some fucked up shit, but the cause he feels like is justified.
So you saying Drake is the anti-hero?
No.
He's not?
No.
How not? How that's the part I'm kind of having all the time.
No, he that would be an anti-hero act.
Oh, so he's a hero.
He's a hero, and people don't view him as a villain.
Got it.
But in real life, he's an anti-hero. Because he'll talk crazy shit, say all kind of shit, fuck your girls, take your mama out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
He's an anti-hero, but
To the public,
he's not that. He's not a villain.
But that's what I'm saying.
DaBaby, Tory Lanez, who else? They're looked at as villains.
What is 50?
50's an anti-hero.
But at what point? He wasn't a hero to begin with, though.
Yeah, 50's been an anti-hero.
How to Rob. When he came out with that, that's a villain.
50's been an anti-hero his whole career.
But as far as the public's view.
Oh, the public? Yeah, villain.
So I'm saying, like, who picks and chooses who the actual...
People don't know the difference. I'm just going on speculative, comic book reference, but people don't know the difference.
What would it take for somebody, for the world, public, to view Drake as an anti-hero?
He would have to go all the way left, like Tory did, and lean all the way into the bullshit. For instance, but Drake is really not that.
That's what I'm saying. You can still portray that image, though.
Yeah, but he's real. But I'm talking about I know
core of them. Yeah, yeah.
I know people that know Drake personally.
Yeah.
Right, and have had personal relationships with Drake. Mm-hmm. He really is a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a really good guy. You know what I'm saying? As far as like he look out for people. He really want to like talk and have opinions and shit like that. He look out for people financially, just randomly. Like, hey man, you know, I know it's hard right now. COVID.
We seen the God's Plan video, so. Yeah,
but I'm saying I know these real people who he's helped.
Where it's not on the mainstream, not,
and
not
nobody knows about it. Gotcha. And so it's like he's a genuinely good guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think genuinely good people or genuinely good guys like that can be villainized in the same way.
Mm. That makes sense.
If you see Drake taking off on people,
people will look at like, what do you do? What the other person do?
Yes,
got it. You're right.
It's like when I saw 21 Savage speak on Takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
21 Savage was on.
Said the same thing, yeah.
He said, if I see Takeoff arguing with somebody, I know the other person wrong.
Right.
Glasses told me the same thing about me.
Really?
He's like, if I ever see, yeah, he was like, if somebody ever if do something in regards to you, or I see y'all, you at it with somebody, I know that they did something because gotcha. You're not the person that's gonna start some shit.
So are you the anti-hero?
I'm an anti-hero.
But the public view, so it depends on who you're talking to. Some people probably look at you as the villain.
Correct.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I'm curious to see how this plays out. Because again, this is within the first week of this album dropping. So I mean the conversation's up there. Who knows? You know, if he'll articulate himself and like you said, breakdown, yes, that was double entendre. It's a play on words. No harm, no malice towards Meg. But I know people feel away, for sure.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Shit, people feel away because people, you know, cut down trees and make toilet paper, and then they still wipe their ass.
Still.
That's crazy, right?
Some folks got bidets.
Man, they still wiping their ass with something. Shout out to the baby. Well, and we can get out of here, but shout out to the baby. Now, when people become a villain, I like that you become the whole thing.
Just cross all the way
Just
over.
Be the whole villain.
Okay.
And that's the lane the baby is in right now, and I like it. I fuck with it.
So he's the villain.
And because he took heat because his tickets was on sale, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
And I got in some shit because I didn't defend him, but I said on Twitter that the people that are talking shit about the baby, the buy one, get one free, are the same people who be complaining about ticket prices. You got to pick a struggle, bro.
Right.
Pick a struggle. Like, do you want, what do you want? Because here's the thing. If Cadillac, no, I do you one better. If they start offering buy one, get one free gallons of gas.
Are you jumping on it?
Nobody's like, man, Chevron fell off. You in line. You know what I'm saying? Niggas pick and choose when they want a villain, when they want to pile on and pack a nigga out. I'm not with that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we like we talked about in the beginning, people love seeing a train wreck, a car crash. People love seeing the demise, whether it's in, I'm not gonna say that. People don't love to see that, but they're inclined to watch it go down. So what you're seeing with the baby right now, based off the last year, right? People will look at that trajectory and be like, oh yeah, he's getting what he deserves. They're just sitting there watching it.
I agree. I understand that. But you also see him building it up. If he's doing shows, he's on the road, he's working, whatever, like that's cool. Like buy one, get one free. That sounds like a great deal to me. You're not complaining about that if they doing that with Jordans.
Facts.
Buy one, get one free pair of Jordans. Nobody like, man, Mike fell off.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody thinking that. You on the website clicking your ass off.
Trying to get that buy one, trying to get one of them to get the other
you
one
You know
free.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, pick and choose. Like y'all pick and choose when y'all wanna like do that. And I'm just not with the mob mentality. I don't like the lynch mob shit. I just don't fuck with it.
But what if the buy one, get one free was because there are low ticket sales and that's because of people not necessarily wanting to support him.
That's fine. You don't gotta go. But to be like, but to pile on to like, oh, you fell off and it's like, well, did he fall off or is that market just somewhere where people decide not to go to the show?
Which is a fair assessment.
It's not that, it's not like
that. Because it could be that or that situation.
It's not that crazy. And I've seen people in my mentions like, oh, you caping for the baby and this is a direct result of what he deserves for his outlandish behavior. I'm like, and ticket sales are a direct reflection of where you are, of the climate of the temperament of your career. Well, when did you become StubHub, bro? When did you become a ticket connoisseur or a fucking box office? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even know what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I don't know. I can't do it.
Well, mate, to be fair, I'm gonna throw this last part out. I think people are also attaching that to low album sales as well. So they're looking at these things that's happened post his situations, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the Rolling Loud performance, being canceled, now the whole Meg Thee Stallion situation. Like, you know, all of that leading into album drop. But to your point, the album wasn't even marketed properly anyway.
I do you one better. Mm-hmm. Whose albums are killing?
Well, I mean, if you go off from what his last album did versus this one, that's what the comparison's going from.
The comparison is whose albums are killing right now?
I mean, Kendrick, Lil Baby. Can't think off top. There's probably, there's, you know.
You talking about the E-8?
Bad Bunny?
Nigga, Bad Bunny did the SoFi Stadium. Yeah.
Was it 80,000?
The fuck you talking, like, yeah. I don't know. It's just stupid to me. Like, it's really dumb. The albums, album sales have been declining. Mm. It's, there's, if you look at it, I don't even got to pull up the numbers, but if you look at the album sales, I guarantee you they're declining year after year after year. Across the board.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, like, give me, like, I don't know. One, I don't like mob, lynch mob mentality. Two, I think that people just start grabbing shit and throwing it all in the pot. And, bro, that's not how you make this food taste good.
Gotcha.
It ain't all, it don't all go together like that.
All right, well, we'll save more for the next time. Stay connected at Homegrown Radio across the socials. And South Africans, please hit us in the comments.
South Africans,
please. We got some
educate
things to talk
this
about. Educate us. We in this together.
Okay.
I'm looping you into this bitch.
Okay.
All right. It's Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. Catch y'all next time.